What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Fresh Cuts, where we look at the latest releases in theaters or on your favorite streaming services. I am your host, Brett Parker. Joining me today are two fantastic human beings. One of them is my brother, Adam. Welcome back to the show. Holy shit. He's here, guys. He still exists.
A millennium.
He still exists. And we also have the amazing Dustin of the Flicks and Friends podcast. Welcome back, Dustin. Dustin is like an unofficial co-host. He's been on this show probably more than anyone.
Yeah.
Other than the actual co-host.
Yeah. Other than your brother, I've been on the show more than you than him.
You're getting close. You're getting close.
I'm up there. I'm catching up.
And I just want to say, you know, we'll miss you, Brad. Brad from Old Man Brad was supposed to be here tonight, but unfortunately he couldn't. But I just want to shout out. He does have an awesome episode on Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 with his wife over on Old Man Brad. So go check that out to hear his thoughts that you won't be able to hear tonight. But we're thinking of you, Brad. We miss you. Wish you could be here. As you probably didn't know already, but tonight we are talking about the sequel to one of the probably greatest movies of 2023. I'm just kidding. God, you can't see that with a straight face. You can't say it with a straight face, guys. We were talking about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Oh, boy, everybody. So, 2023. Race Frank Waterfield comes out and he makes a movie, as we will say, called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Because Winnie the Pooh became public domain. And as soon as that happens, people are coming out of the woodworks making these public domain horror movies. And he came out with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. We talked about that last year. So if you want to check out my thoughts on that, along with Brad, go check it out. It's on the channel somewhere. So now we have a sequel. That first one was made for $50,000. It made $5,000 at the box office.
Right.
So they, of course, got greenlit for a sequel, which got a
$5 million
at the box office. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
Holy shit, guys!
$5 million. Like sorry. I said the budget was $50,000, so like $1,000 was just on in my brain right there.
Yeah. Like, wow, they lost a lot of money.
Wait a minute. Guys. They got a sequel out of that.
To
be honest, I have fallen for a lot of stuff today. I haven't commented on a lot of stuff, but I was like, holy shit. And then I forgot today is, as we're recording, is April Fool's Day. God damn. Yeah.
But all I can say is this first movie with this, you know, being a movie, I remember it being on a list that you and I have talked about in 2023, where it was nowhere near my dishonorable mentions when it came to, because I had a ton of fucking fun with it, man. Like, yes, I mean, I give any type of independent horror movies a chance, and this one, I was able to at least watch all the way through. Like, not discrediting, I don't have a movie, so I'm not going to discredit someone putting a movie out there.
But you know? Remember, we can still judge it on its qualities.
I'll give it a chance.
So, we talked about it last year, the fact that, you know, this movie, or the first one, made so much money. $5 million at the box office on a $50,000 budget. This, or it was either $50,000 or $100,000, I can't remember the exact number. This one got a way bigger budget. I think it was a $1 million budget. As of right now, from numbers I've seen, it's only at like $500,000 at the box office. So I don't know currently exactly where it's at money-wise. It was only shown for 3 days over the course, or what was it, last week?
Yeah, to be honest,
our theater, I guess, just didn't get enough people because they just took one of the days away. It was like Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, Thursday's not happening. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but right now what we're going to do is go around the room and talk about our spoiler-free thoughts before we hop into our full spoiler review.
Just to caveat on that, it's as of right now, domestically has grossed $2 million.
All right, well, Wikipedia needs to update their site. That's, hey, good for them. Yeah. Good for them. Keep it going. We got a Pooniverse to talk about. So first, let's talk about our actually before we talk about our thoughts on the movie, let's talk about our theater experience, because I think that's always a fun thing, especially with a movie like this. So, Dustin, how was your theater experience?
Mm-hmm. It was fine. My wife went with me, which was great. Like, she doesn't do horror movies at all, but she had a really good time. But we were two of five people in the theater. But which means like we were all invested into the movie. I didn't have to worry about somebody looking at their phone or this person over here taking a nap. Didn't have to worry about it. We were all intrigued with what we got and had a blast, dude. I love when they do these short runs, like Fathom, when they do the short little runs. Such a good time.
Adam, we went together, so we kind of had the same experience going to see this movie. Do you think our theater experience was a good one?
I had a blast. I mean, I went in what I expected happened, and we kind of had the same experience as Dustin. We had like approximately 3.5 people in our theater. So it was, I had a great experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we even talked to the guy who was like, there was a guy sitting like two seats away from us because we sat in like the very back of the theater.
Yeah,
and he's really like cool asking guy. Questions and stuff. And we were like,
you animals, how do you
what,
do
sit
that?
In the back of the theater? Okay.
Sit in the very back of the, I can't
our
do that.
Theater,
shit,
our theaters aren't big.
Wild.
Like they don't, it's not like a, it's not like a Regal. It's not, you know, where it's like a fucking auditorium. Like our theaters are, somewhat small, so when you sit in the back you're still getting a pretty big, you know, screen experience.
Oh, okay.
If it was a bigger theater, I usually go for like the middle or, you know, sometimes I go a little closer to the front, especially depending on what kind of seats they have. If they're just the generic awful garbage reclined but they don't stay reclined, then I usually sit like in the middle. But but our theaters are small, so usually the back is nice because I don't have to worry about anyone sitting behind me. It's nice.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, we didn't have many people in our theater, and it was just, it was a blast. It was a lot of laughter, like just laughing out loud, and people just, you know, the fact that you can do that, people just not giving a shit. The only thing that's like annoying, and it's just like a sidebar, is when you're trying not to like fuck with whatever food you have while like quiet moments are happening. Like something tense is happening, and you're just like,
I didn't care. My nerves were going in my mouth.
Yeah. All right, wait, action!
I know. I never touched my nerves until it. Like it was like bad timing. It was every time I went to go eat my nerds, everything would get quiet, and I'm like, really? Every time? I just want the nerds.
Yeah, I'm just like, action! Gummy worm in the mouth.
I had a similar somewhat of experience. You guys said you were chatting with the guy a couple seats away from you. But the only time we did have a conversation with anyone was when we were leaving, because there was like this other couple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was kind of. Yeah, our conversation with him wasn't during the movie. It was right as like the credits were rolling. He was like, you know, asking, like he would turn to us and I don't remember exactly what he asked us, but he was just asking us some questions. And
he's like, holy shit, are you that guy from that podcast that sucked that film?
One day, man, I might have a heart attack if someone actually recognizes me for doing this, okay?
Yeah.
What if it's me? What if I walk in your house and hey, you that guy?
Hey, yes. You guy!
I think I know you.
All right, well, now let's talk about our spoiler-free thoughts on the movie before we get into our spoilery parts. Dustin, what you think of this one?
It was a fucking banger. I went in with little expectation because I knew what I was getting into, to be honest. And I just had a ton of fun. Like I went in there and expected anthropomorphic sized fucking monsters killing these people. And that's what I got, you know, and it was just a blast. It was a blast.
Adam.
Oh, I mean, compared to the first one, it was in a different universe.
Literally.
I mean, obviously it's not, literally a spectacular, but no, I think with how they recreated the look of the characters and everything, it was everything I expected and kind of more to a sense, because the first one was just so great. Throw up saying that. No, it was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great for what I expected. I thought it was a great time. And I think they did a good job for what they have to work with at this point in time.
Don't let them lie to you. We had a great time seeing the first one in theater. I remember walking. I do remember the walking out of the theater when we saw the first one. And you just looked at me and went, what the fuck did we just see? And I went, I don't know now. Well, I got to process this.
I think I was cross-eyed too. I was like, I didn't, my whole body was.
And our theater was pretty packed.
I wish we had a.
It was. Actually,
I wish we had a run of the first one down here, man. We didn't get a run of the first one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since we saw it in theater. I do want to do a commentary track so bad on the first one.
All I'm saying, man, Walmart has that beautiful fucking steel book.
Yours does. Mine won't.
It looks good.
My Walmart sucks. My Walmart.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm lucky enough to find this awesome Hollow Man steel book.
You should. They don't.
I went
Walmart.
There. The only thing I found was that awesome Twister I bought for like $7.
80% of my Walmart is Disney product.
There's like no physical media at any of like the outlet stores. Like Target doesn't have shit anymore. No. The Walmarts don't have much anymore. I mean, the cool thing is my Walmart has the cool Steelbook end cap, but most of it's like they had Hollow Man Anaconda, which is like, okay, I need to get those on Steelbook. And then they had a bunch of like newer ones, like Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, yeah, Fighter
I saw
one.
Street Fighter. I might have to snag that at some point. But yeah, all right, back to Winnie the Pooh.
Let's
go over some of the. Did I mention what I did? I like the movie. This.
Yeah, what you mean?
I mean, I had a blast with this movie. I really did. I went into this only kind of getting what we got from the first trailer, because I only saw the first trailer for the movie. I actually did a react to it on the channel. So if you want to see what my reaction to watching the trailer for this movie, it's there. That was all I was expecting. And I just remember seeing like the updated masks and the way that like Pooh and his friends looked, and it, even in the trailer, it looked like a legitimate movie that like money went into that. Like it looked like, I don't want to say a studio film, but it looked a lot cleaner than that first one. Like the first one looked cheap, and
they had money. Right. They had money to spend.
And don't get me wrong. I've watched a lot of like very, very like micro budgeted films that look way better than the first Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. Okay. So I'm not going to judge a movie just because it's like, oh yeah, it looks like they put a lot more money into it. No, it just looked like more of a cohesive story. Like they were giving us something that the first one just did not bother with. And I was pleasantly surprised when I went through the movie and I'm watching a cohesive story, a story that actually like makes everything that's happening make sense in a way. It was interesting. It reminded me of kind of like a, it kind of gave me the vibe of like Freddy versus Jason, like the way it looked. I know it's a weird movie to kind of compare it to, even though it is about slashers, so I guess it's not too far off. But it kind of has that same feel. And the great thing is like this movie really takes a lot of inspiration from other classics, but not like kind of throwing it in your face type way, if you know what I mean. Overall, I had a great time watching this movie. I definitely left this movie feeling a lot better than the first one, even though I was one of the few people who actually didn't hate the first one. So, yeah. All right, well, let's talk about some of the people behind this movie. So we have Reese Frake Waterfield back behind the in the director's chair. We have a new writer, though. We have Matt Leslie, who took over writing duties on this. He, I guess, wrote a movie called Summer of 84, which I have not seen, but I heard it's actually pretty good.
Is that the one with the group of kids? Yeah. It's got a group of kids in it, like the covers of milk carton. Oh, dude.
Yeah, I got to check it out because I've heard it's good. And I've actually had some pretty cool experiences talking to Matt Leslie on X. He's very active over there. So maybe one day get him on the show. Of course, this movie is based on Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne and E.H. Shepard. I really wanted like a hardcore heavy metal version of like the Winnie the Pooh theme song at the end of the movie. where it's like Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, like just fucking hard. But instead, we got this weird song, which we'll talk about because Adam knows the song. I didn't know what it was, but he was like, "This is the song they're gonna pick." Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like that song, but it does not fit.
Yeah, it was weird. As for the stars of this movie, we have Scott Chambers as Christopher Robin. We have Tallulah Evans as Lexi. We have Ryan Oliva as Winnie the Pooh. And Teresa Banham as Samantha. I don't want to go through all these people because I feel like we're not going to talk much about the characters, especially like which one was Samantha? Like I don't remember half these characters' names. I guess I can shout out the actors in this movie. Alec Newman, Simon Callow, Eddie McKenzie as Piglet, Louis Santer as Tigger, Marcus Massey as Owl, Nicola Wright as Daphne Robin, who is the mom, Thea Evans as Helen Bunny Robin, who is the little sister, Flynn Matthews as Finn. I think that was he, I think I remember who that guy was. And
yeah, Finn was the friend with the he wore the AirPods in the shower.
Yeah, what's
weirdo?
and Toby Wynn Davies as Dr. Arthur Gallup. So
okay, and then there's like half that credits that just said ravers.
Yes.
Yeah,
that, I think.
Don't forget
about. I wanted to be a raver.
I think that was the thing the guy asked us about. He's like, "Is this seriously about? Like, do you guys see that right now? They all it just all says raver." I was like, "What about titty girl? Why wasn't there a girl? Why wasn't there a? Why wasn't there a credit for?
No, you got to put titty raver at the top.
Right. That's the way we should have put it.
Yeah. Yeah, she's top eight build. God. Yeah.
The music was done by Andrew Scott Bell, who I believe did the music for the first one. It was released on March 18th in London and March 26th in the United States and I guess the rest of the United Kingdom. It was an hour and 35 minutes. Perfect time. Perfect timing. And as we're talking about this movie, it's made over $2 million at the box office. Someone said billion. Imagine that.
Oh my God, your money is just holy going shit. Off, right? Like, first $5,000 they only Avengers made, Endgame, now $2 billion.
Poop Bun Honey 2 is here.
Yeah. Did you guys get the cool little Fathom Events intro?
We'll talk about that.
Okay, because I wanted to talk a little bit about
that. So, before we get into spoilers, so that was the end of our spoilers. I have always been awful about doing spoiler-free stuff. Because I just want to talk about spoilers. Before the movie even starts, we get the director, Rhys Frank Waterfield. I always got to look over because he's got three names, and I can't even memorize two. We had Waterfield, and we had Scott Chambers, who I guess is a producer. He's like one of the creators of or people involved. I guess he's going to be a director for one of the movies.
He's directing the Pinocchio movie.
God.
They talk about the fact that
they listened to the fans, and that's why there was a lot of changes with this new one. You know, between the way that Pooh and his friends look, the way that they were going to actually bring in like a writer to give this movie kind of a story that makes everything that's going on more interesting. And then they jump into the Pooniverse, the most outrageous goddamn thing you could imagine, where there is going to be so we have our two Winnie the Pooh movies. We are going to be getting a Pinocchio movie called Pinocchio Unstrung. We're getting a Peter Pan movie. Mm-hmm. We're getting What am I missing here?
Bambi. We got a sneak peek for one of them. Bambi the Reckoning.
The Reckoning, which I think is probably going to be the...
I did it actually look really good though.
Like, I'm not gonna say
and everything. Yeah, when they show really good.
You know, I'm stoked.
Yeah, when
on
they
that
show
shit,
that deer flipping that car, I was like, I literally looked over at I went, why did that CG look really good? It actually looked legit.
Yeah,
really good. Wow. I was really impressed.
But we're getting all these crazy horror movies, which will then culminate into the Pooniverse, which is going to be some sort of like Avengers event where all these characters get together to fight like the Mad Hatter, I think, is one of the villains or something like that.
I think they talked about bringing the Mad Hatter, Sleeping Beauty, and other public domain characters into this movie to help get rid of these people who are surviving, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like Pooh needs help, you know, getting rid of Christopher Robin.
It's so interesting because for years, I remember, I think it was when they announced Blood and Honey, the first one, that I went, you know what would be a perfect character to turn into a horror movie is Peter Pan. Peter Pan is perfect because... pretty much. I mean, he's literally kidnapping children and bringing them to this Neverland. And it's already a horror movie in itself. Pinocchio, definitely 100%. Like, I even mentioned it, like, it's going to be like a Chucky movie. And I'm like, sign me the fuck up right now. You mentioned it's going to be like a Chucky movie. Yeah, you just had to say Chucky, bro. You just had to say my boy Chucky. Okay, I'm sign me up every time. But they kind of spoiled some things that were going to happen in each movie. It kind of bummed me out. I was like, don't tell us what they're going to do. Like, he was like, oh, he's going to use his nose as like a weapon. And I was like, I kind of figured that was going to be a thing, but it's like, keep some things on the low down. You know, people are going to go and see these movies. We're all going to go see these movies. 100%. Like, what? Yeah, well, I already have the tickets.
I'm already sitting in the seat.
As soon as those things pop up, I'm like, bought.
Yeah, Pooh's got the gauntlet, but it's like a jar of honey on his wrist.
Literally, he just has his hand stuck in the jar, but pretend like it's powerful or something. And they even talked about the fact that they had to like eliminate a bunch of the kills from this movie, and so they'll all be part of the special features on the Blu-ray. And I'm like, oh, is Blood and Honey 2 about to be in my collection? Yes, it is.
It's already got a spot on my shelf, man.
It's going to be there. I don't know if I want to put the first one on my shelf, but the second one definitely will be. All right. Well, so yeah, I'm very excited for the Pooniverse. I don't know about you two, but the Pooniverse, I am sold. I am a sucker for these stupid... Like, a lot of people are very upset on social media about these movies and how they're, like, ruining their childhood. I'm like, for one, I just want
to
admit...
Dude, I have to hear from Paul every day. I hear from Paul.
Listen,
all the
it's
fucking
okay
time.
If you feel that way, but I just want to clarify: if you are letting these movies affect the original of whatever, like the fact of like Winnie the Pooh, like if this will never touch the original Winnie the Pooh, like I still enjoy the Disney, you know, Winnie the Pooh. I still have the original books. I read them to my kids. Like, it's not going to ruin it. And this just gets me excited because it's like, yeah, I love it. Like, they're making a Disney or they're making a freaking Steamboat Willie horror movie. Like, sign me up. Totally. Like, they're probably going to be awful, but like, I'm there. I want to watch them and laugh my ass off. Cause these are movies you can just throw on and just have a good time. And just, you're going to laugh. You're going to cringe maybe a little bit because of maybe some of the dialogue or even some of the kills could just be like, holy shit, I was not expecting that. But
I mean, that's the thing about these movies is like, I never go into them expecting to be blown out of the water, but I have a good time. And that's what I really care about in the end is like, I enjoy them. They're fun. They're not spectacular, not a, you know, award winner, but I have fun.
Like a lot of people, like when people talk about like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, you know, on so many, probably 95% of like moviegoers list as like worst of the year. Like, it's just an abomination. Like, even today, I still see people posting like, just saw Blood and Honey 1. That was utter garbage. And it's like, yeah, it's not good. It's not good, but it's definitely a movie where I can laugh at just like the scene where Piglet is chasing this chick in the pool. And it is the slowest chase scene. I laughed my ass off because it is so utterly dumb.
That wasn't Piglet. That was Mrs. Boar, because that is not a pig by any means.
I mean, all I'm going to say, man, is I guess people forgot that the 80s horror slasher craze happened, and not 90% of the movies that came out in the 80s were fucking horror movies, and none of them were good. But they're gonna hold them to a pedestal, and you know, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. I can name, you know, The Flash. you know, I don't know. It's definitely not a bad movie. It's a good time is what you're having.
I mean, to be honest, we were talking before we started recording, we were talking about Cat in the Hat, because that's the newest episode from Dustin's podcast, Flicks and Friends. Imagine, like, you for what you posted the fake A24 trailer. I want that. I want that.
Give me
a horror Cat in the Hat. Absolutely. This cat comes in here, starts causing chaos, but he's like stalking these children. Sign me up. What we got? I'm not a fan, but we'll leave it at that. All right, let's talk some spoilers about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. So if you have not seen this movie and you don't want to be spoiled, because this movie actually has a story, this has a plot. So if you don't want to be spoiled, please leave now. Go watch the movie. Wait for it to come on to digital. It probably is going to be on digital pretty quickly. Usually these movies do that. I know the first one's on Peacock right now. So yeah, if you don't want to be spoiled, please leave. And then once you've seen the movie and you want to listen to our spoiler-filled thoughts, come back and listen to it. All right, let's do this thing. Dustin, so what did you think of the movie now that you can include spoilers?
Dude, because you were trying to compare it to a movie earlier, and you compared it to Freddy vs. Jason. The first time we see Winnie the Pooh grab this girl by her arm and break it, and then grab her leg and break it, and fucking go around and put her head in a bear trap, I instantly thought Terrifier. And in my brain, that is what I kept. I was like, this is straight up like a fucking Art the Clown movie. And I loved how brutal it was. How, not going to lie, I was pretty bummed, you know, Piglet getting taken out so quick. But with what they talked about at the end, which is fucking stupid, I'm stoked because he's coming back. But all of the kills in this, the lore dump that we get, the mythology, the fact that they made the first Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey kind of like stab to this universe. It's a movie within this fucking movie. Definitely, because a lot of my friends are like, oh, I've never seen the first one. Like, well, you don't have to. To be honest, like, you really don't have to see the first one to see this one. There's a lot I liked about this movie. And I'm sure we'll get into it after everyone's had their turn. I'll just talk about the whole thing.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, me and Adam kind of came out of the theater with the same reaction and the same, you know, feelings about the movie. The fact is, like, this movie is a million times, like, and as someone who actually didn't hate the first one, this movie is a million times better than the first one, to the point where they just went, yeah, so it's not a sequel to the first one. It's actually, the first one is a movie within this movie. This is the real events. This is the real Christopher Robin, the real Winnie the Pooh and all the characters. That is just the movie they made based on the events. And you're like, I like it. I like it. The fact that we don't get
that. Yeah, my only real gripe is Tigger didn't speak in rhyme.
Yeah,
I kind of wish he did, but that's really it. That's all I'm going to complain about.
Adam, what were your feelings coming out of the theater?
I think the thing that grabbed me the most about this one was they actually gave this movie kind of like a meaning, like there was a story behind it, and I think it really caught my eye when they brought up the whole fact of like who is his brother, and they're just like these animal human hybrids that were created. And because in the first one there's no premise, and then with this one there was actually a premise. And like, as much as I love the kills in this movie, like when they brought up that whole thing about the backstory of all these characters, I was like, oh, okay, like it actually was good for being like I'd still consider it a low budget movie, considering like movies are worth quadrillion dollars nowadays. So, but yeah, I would say for me it was the stories and the kills, and I will say Tigger reminded me of Freddy.
Yeah,
a lot of his actions reminded me of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sure,
but yeah, feel like I have something else, but it'll come back to me. I'll let you.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Tigger, he definitely was modeled after Freddy Krueger. He says, he calls everybody bitch, which is a Freddy Krueger thing. The way that he kind of like walks and stalks his, you know, his victims, very Freddy-like. I wish he spoke in rhymes. I wish they were able to kind of get him to like bounce on his tail, like as like an attack, like oh, they're up on that, you know, catwalk. I'm going to, he uses his tail to like hop up there, but you never see him do it. You never see him actually hop around. To be honest, when I'm thinking of like all of the characters, I think Tigger is probably my least favorite. And he was the one I was most excited for when I saw the trail. I was like, fucking Tigger's here, man. And he's wearing like a straitjacket.
So I feel like I said it. I feel like I said this while we were in the theater, but to me, like, he didn't look like a tiger at all to me. Like, I get they're a hybrid, but like, he looked like a puma or like a leopard.
Like, I just think this. He looks like a cat. I mean, he's going to be Tigger.
What?
Yeah, the only thing to me that made him look like Tigger was like when you'd see his hands and shit, like it was tiger striped.
And the stripes on it.
But I see what you're saying, though. Like, it wasn't like it was a very dark movie, you know, to be honest. So, like, trying to see the fine details on someone who has fine details.
Yeah, because it was one of my minor complaints is the fact that Tigger and Pooh's mask look very similar. So there are some scenes in the movie where you're like, is that Tigger? No, it's Pooh. Is that Pooh? No, it's Tigger. You're like, oh God, stop! Like, it's just like too much, like close to the face, and they just look so similar, especially when it's in a dark scene. You're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Owl's character reminded me so much of Jeepers Creepers. Like, that's all I could think about every time I saw him. In his character. So like bringing it back to like, I feel like this movie made me think of so many movies around it, but like you said, it didn't throw it at your face, but I could compare so many different type of horror films to what they modeled a lot of their stuff after, which to me was cool. Cause like you said, they didn't throw it in your face. They didn't copy it per se, but they just based it or modeled it a little bit after a lot of, or which is cool.
Yeah, I like the whole Tigger reveal, you know, like when they're down in their dungeon and you see the door over there rattling and like, yeah, you don't want to go in there, and then all those cops come down and they're like, I guess they're gonna go in there.
Oh my God, though.
And they get
great reveal, but when the cops are getting attacked and they go to the outside of the tree and the claws or the hands or something that come around the car. It's like so such a weird like popping that's going on there. It just looks so weird. And then it's like,
That's you just. So my one gripe, this is the one thing that was going to come back to me. And it did. I didn't like that 98% of Tigger's kills were like shadow based. Like you didn't actually see him killing them. It was like his shadow portrayed on a wall of him killing people. Yeah. Like that part was to me, it was like, cause I thought his character was pretty cool and that his kid, like the way he like acted right before he was about to kill, and they'd show him, he looked really cool, and then all of a sudden it'd just be like a shadow. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like all that build up, and then all you see is a shadow on a wall.
Dude, when he grabs that girl by the fucking leash and poking at her in the
floor,
that was pretty tight.
Yeah, that like that's, if I saw more of his, because his kills were cool when you saw them, but like 50% of them were just shadow. Yeah,
especially when Pooh, especially
to me, that was
it's definitely a contrast to what Pooh was doing, because Poohs were super brutal. Like Pooh's like decapitating everyone. Dude, holy shit! And you're watching it all. Like there's no, you don't get shadow kills with Pooh. Poohs are front and center. Like the one where he walks into the rave and throws his bear trap and decapitates that girl's head, and then freaking hits it like a baseball. Like, what the?
All I'll say is, if you had to take a shot for every decapitation of that movie, you would be lying on the floor.
Yeah.
Nobody had heads at the end of that movie.
But while we're on kills, did you guys have a favorite one? Like, was there one that stood
one,
out to you?
I mean, the one I just mentioned is definitely one of my favorites. Like, that one was just so interesting. Yeah. It reminded me of a shot in The Mummy where Brendan Fraser takes off that one of the heads of the mummies, and then like it's like bobbling his head, and then he freaking hits it like a baseball. I was like, that's awesome. Other than that, I mean, that's the thing is, like, poos.
I got two.
Poos were the most brutal. Poos was like the only ones you really saw. So, oh man, I'm like blanking right now on some of the kills.
I have. The one you said is one of my favorites, but my second one is the cop in the garage when he shoves the hand
in her mouth. Good.
Yeah.
And it's just like sticking out of her mouth. I really enjoyed that one.
Going by.
Yeah. Yeah. That one got me. I was like, all right, that's a cool concept.
Yeah. No, I love the opening one, dude, when he snaps that girl's limbs.
That one's awesome.
Love that. And then at the rave, dude, Pooh walks up to that one girl against the fence and he just fucking gets her one time with he gives her the old, you know, lariat and punches her face in, dude. I loved that, dude. Oh, it was so good.
I think it was so funny when the poster for this movie came out and and people were kind of nitpicking it, like, and they're like, well, look at her arms and look at her legs, the girl laying down on the ground. And somebody was like, it's probably going to be part of the movie. And it was. Because that's the girl who gets all of her limbs broken and her arms and legs literally look like noodles. And then she gets her face thrown into that bear trap. And you're like, wow. Like, that opening scene is bonkers because you have the girl who is in the caravan who blows up and then she's crawling out of the water. I'm like, bitch, just die. Just die. You don't want to be alive. Yeah. Like, look at you. You look like a melted marshmallow.
I will say, though, that scene with the camper made me kind of giggle inside because it looked like every time Pooh was picking up, like, he was, like, so tired. He would, like, pick it up and then, like, drop it down, like, why am I doing this? Like, he kept panning back to him, and he's like, I don't want to do this.
I did like
that Pooh carried around the bear trap. Yeah. That was, like, his you know, weapon of choice. I love that shit, dude.
That was awesome. You know, and
every time bear traps or anything with me just get me, man. Like in The Collector, like when a dude falls on the floor of bear traps.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
And yeah. I mean that kill in the club, I mean, it's such a cool like idea to do it because that is his weapon.
Yeah.
And the way they made that scene was like, all right, this is like,
yeah, this we're talking about Titty Raver 1, oh right? That's God, what we're talking dude. About.
Like,
yeah,
Titty they were Raver. Focusing on her. They were focusing on her a lot because she survived for quite a bit. And you're like,
well,
tits.
Well, they had to show. They did. Yeah, exactly. They didn't show tits at all in the movie dude, until
once
that
you get
part.
To that rave. You're like,
it's so
okay, okay.
It's so funny though because from the first one, where like I'm like, all right, when are the tits coming? Because I know they're, and then it was the most ridiculous scene, and then. As soon as the rave happened, I went, there's going to be tits.
Plenty of
somewhere
them.
In here is a titty raver.
Yeah.
But let's talk about something that the first one didn't have, and that is a plot. This movie really gives us kind of a story to kind of give a shit about. So we have Scott Chambers, who plays Christopher Robin, and this is the real life Christopher Robin. As we mentioned before, the first one is a movie within this universe. It is a movie based on the events that he had gone through. And he is like a pariah in his town. People think he's a murderer. And, you know, he's a doctor. He's and stuff like that. And there's this whole thing where he's like going to therapy and, you know, people are talking shit about him behind his back and all that stuff. And he has parents that are like 75 years old, and somehow he has a 6-year-old sister. That was the one thing I was like, how old are these parents?
Yeah.
Like, this girl is like 6 or 7 years old, and that mom is a lot older than that, a lot older than a mom should be. But but it was like, I thought that Scott Chambers did a great job portraying like the emotions of someone who is going through this like kind of shitty time in his life, you know, having to be called a murderer for things he didn't do. You know, he's got his friend who's played by Tallulah Evans, who I also thought was good. The only thing is I didn't think we got enough of her. I would have liked it if they were together a lot more, but we had to get the whole her and the kid she babysits kind of subplot there, which was very Halloween 2018 to me. If you've seen, it reminds me of that girl who babysits, the little kid, and then she later gets killed by Michael Myers from the closet. It reminds me of that whole situation.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't get more of them because that, we didn't need a love interest.
I mean, they're
I feel definitely, you know, like they but it's not, but it's not like your face, they right, hammered yeah. in your face. Yeah, but I feel like if there was more of her and him in this, then I can guarantee you yeah, would have got that.
I think it kind of culminates in the end. I feel like it's going to happen probably in the next one.
I'm not gonna lie, I compare a lot of movies together, and his character reminded me of, probably because I watched it semi-recently. His character reminded me so much of that girl from that, it's the Alien movie, where she's like so shunned by the town.
Oh,
it's where she's like deaf. No,
she's
or
not
mute.
Any. She's not either of those things. She just doesn't talk. Yeah. Because she.
Oh, I'm thinking of then as the deaf and Hush? Mute character that has. No, it's an alien invasion movie, but it's a. I know what you're talking about. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. It like his character reminded me so much of her because that they do the same stuff to her. Like she was so shunned by this town, and obviously it's a different type of universe. Yeah. One's aliens, one's
we get this whole thing where his brother died or his brother got kidnapped. They never found him, and I guess a bunch of other kids in the town got kidnapped. Then it turns into this whole like Dr. Moreau storyline where there was this doctor who was getting kids and experimenting on them and turning them into these like animal human hybrids. And that's kind of how these characters exist. And I think it just like, if you're going to try to make this make sense, if you're going to try to make these Winnie the Pooh characters make sense in this universe, what better way than to be like, yeah, they were human, but they were experimented on. That's why they're the way they are. And you're like, okay. I mean, it is ridiculous. No matter how you write it, it's ridiculous, but at least it makes sense. Where in the first one, it's just like, what are they, just Pooh's friends that just got pissed off because he went to college? Like, what are we talking about here?
No, they were just crazy people with masks on. Because they didn't even look like actual.
And that's what I liked a lot about it, is the fact that Pooh and Tigger and Owl, they were like, yeah, Christopher Robin did this. Yeah, Christopher Robin did that. They knew Christopher Robin prior, which was smart. It was really smart for them to lay in the fact that these were kids that Christopher Robin knew at some point in his life. And to turn them in, they're growing out of control, their bone density, all this and that. Regenerative skills. Dude! But giving them this lore dump and the psychotic breaks that Christopher Robin's having, I loved seeing him going to the shrink, him going having the flashbacks that were blurry to the point where he came to and realized he knew who this guy was this whole time. You know, and I dug that, and then we got his story as to why he did it, and you know, typical I need money
very
type of thing.
Similar to another movie got in the last year, very much like Five Nights at Freddy's, where he's dreaming about who kidnapped my brother. And it's kind of the same thing. I'm not saying these things to be like, look what the writer did. Damn you, Matt Leslie. Look what you did. You stole from all these. No. I'm just saying it's very similar in the way that it's like him trying to figure out who kidnapped his brother. And then he comes in contact with him. He meets the guy. He finds him because the guy's awkwardly stalking him, making it obvious that he's being very awkward. And then he kind of. He comes face to face with this guy. And this was, I'm glad we got kind of like, this is where we get the explanation of that there was this doctor that did these experiments. And now, you know, yes, this is the kids turned into these things. But it went on a little too long. Like he like added so much extra information. I'm like, we could have just gotten, you helped him kidnap kids. He turned these kids into experiments.
Well, they're trying to set up a universe.
But you can you could probably just kind of split it off into all the other movies about why these things are happening. It really didn't deter me to be like, oh my God, can we just move on? It was just like, okay, it's a little too much info. Like, just give us the fact that you did what you did. And now you're giving this information to Christopher Robin to the point where he now is like, oh shit. So my brother is one of these. Like he kind of, and that's when it kind of like sprouts in his head, like, oh, so Pooh might be my brother.
Yeah, because what's the most fucked up about it is when we start seeing these flashbacks to young Christopher Robin playing with young Winnie the Pooh, you know, it's like his brother, that monster is still right. part of his brother, you know, and Christopher Robin has no idea, you know, so he sees all the stuff that Christopher's getting and the luxury of living where he's living, and all while Pooh is getting buried in this, you know, grave yeah. over by this tree, by the tree in yeah. Sleepy Hollow, you know, like that's, you know, and then he goes back to life and it's like the earth spathed him up.
It's always weird to me because the doctor is the one who does this all, right? He does the experiments. He creates these creatures. He's the one who kills them, quotations, because they don't die, and buries them. He dies, though, in the course before they wake back up again, because the guy who kidnaps the kids ended up burning the guy's house down. And actually, no, he shot him. I think he shot him, like, point blank, and then he burned his house down. And I'm like, so... are they just animalistic now to the point that's why they're killing all these people? Just like none of these people did anything to them. They're just killing aimlessly. They're killing just random people in their town. Like, I understand we have to have a movie, but like, why? The guy who did this is dead.
But I wonder if it's because they have the impression yeah. of humans. Doesn't matter who it is, you know, like there's those three guys out in the woods that right. are trying to hunt them. Two of them ain't doing shit, but they still get got, you know,
the guy who survives.
There's the guy. Ooh. Ooh. There's that kid with his dad.
Oh, my God.
At fucking birds.
Fucking owl just swoops that up.
You know, I think it's just I just think it's the threat of humanity
yeah.
in general.
It's yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions I really have in the back of my head, like, why are they doing this? But then you kind of have to reevaluate and go, oh yeah, this is Winnie the Pooh Blood 92. Let's not overthink this here. Let's not make this more complicated than it has to be. Okay.
I actually have a question. So of all the cool kills, why does Pooh's head blow up like Mount Vesuvius? That kill really threw me off. I was like, this. He hit him with an axe.
Yeah, when they show the shot behind Pooh after the axe hits him, his head is split so much. You're just like, seems a little much, but still cool effect. It's all practical, so I can't be too yeah. angry about it. I mean, that's the great thing about most indie movies is that a lot of practical effects are used because, you know, CGI is not the easiest thing to do. The CGI blood in this wasn't as ugly as in the first one. The first one had a lot of ugly CGI blood that just threw me off. Where this one, because it was shot in, there was a lot of dark scenes, the blood didn't look as bad. I know there was probably quite a bit of CGI blood in this, which is like one of my least favorite things with CGI. That and water. If you can't do water right, blood is not going to be great either when it comes to CGI. But if you can do practical stuff, practical blood is the fucking best. I don't care if it's Sleepy Hollow red,
yeah,
as I like to call it, that like obnoxious red where you're like, that's not real, but you know what, I'm in. but yeah, I mean, overall, it's the fact that we get a cohesive story, at least a more cohesive story than we ever got in the first one. We have I actually cared about Christopher Robin. Like, I actually liked his character. He was really sweet to his sister. He was really nice with his parents. Like, it wasn't like him just being standoffish and like kind of that typical, like, you know, guys just don't understand me. And like, you know, and then, you know, he's got a little sister, so he's a douchebag about, you know, to her or whatever. Like, he's generally a nice guy just trying to clear his name, trying to get people to understand that he's innocent, that he didn't do these things. And, you know, even when people are pretty much calling him a killer to his face, he's just like, I mean, I didn't do it, but whatever. I guess if that's what you think, I'm just going to go instead of causing a big issue or whatever.
I mean, even when he got fired from the hospital, he still didn't, like, he was upset, but he didn't make
because,
a big
I mean,
stink,
he understood what the know? Guy was saying to him. He's like, "This, it's bad publicity for the hospital." It's like, and the guy's like, I know, like, I don't want to do this. Like, it's not my call, but the fact that, you know, it's, you know, having a supposed murderer as an employee, it probably doesn't look so good for us, even though because he even says, like, I believe you. Like, I don't think you did any of that stuff. But You know, and that's, I mean, way more emotion than we even remotely got in the first one. So it's like, there's just so much improvement with this movie. This movie just does a way better job. I hope it just keeps going up and up. I hope we don't revert back to what we got that first movie. I hope, you know, that was the tent pole. And as much as that movie can be hated and despised, the fact is it was a tent pole for what we're going to get with this Pooniverse. And the reason why we got such a better version of this story of, yes, I understand people's hatred for it because it is Winnie the Pooh and it's ruining the legacy of Winnie the Pooh. It's not. It's okay, guys. If you don't want to watch it, just don't watch it. But we're all going to sit here and tell you to watch this movie. It's not in theaters anymore. Hopefully they will be. By the time you listen to it, it's not going to be a thing. I know that today. Oh, wait. Today's April Fool's, so it might have been an April Fool's thing.
Yeah, you got. You would have got.
It was? It was. Oh, you almost got, man. Cut. I mean, yeah. I didn't do it, but damn it. They did. Yeah. God, this goddamn day.
But I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Why was Pooh, I don't say sympathetic, but he chose not to do anything to the little sister while he broke into the house. You know, they were face to face, like something could have happened. And then she disappeared. Christopher Robin couldn't find her. No one knew where she was. And all of a sudden she was with the cops.
Wasn't it because she was holding the bear that used to be his?
I don't know, but it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, does he still know that?
I don't know. I know she was holding the bear, and I remember the scene where he says, "Why did you take
Billy?"
Billy. Yeah, why'd you take Billy's bear? You know, don't go in his room or whatever. And then I remember her holding it when he's looking down at her. So I don't know if that's why, or
maybe
a coincidence. I don't know.
She outran him.
Yeah, because
I
mean, that's the thing. You don't see him.
You don't know.
No, because by the time, because after he kills the parents, which he goes up to his old room and he sees a picture of himself. He sees his, you know, picture of himself as a kid.
Oh, we get like the lightning strike and you see his reflection on it. Yeah.
I think she hides in a different part. I'm guessing she just ran away. She just got out of there before Pooh was able to take her, because the fact is, the cops find her. I think it would have been more interesting if Pooh, like, just hit her away. And
if she was down in their lair,
Because the thing is, and I, you know, I've listened to other people's reviews on this movie, and I've heard some pretty interesting theories. It's like, her nickname is Bunny. And so it was one of those things, like, what if she becomes Rabbit? Like, it's like, maybe they take her and they turn her into one of them. And she becomes Rabbit. But then I heard that Rabbit's already a thing in this universe. Like, he already exists. Or she. I guess because Kanga and Roo are going to be in the next one. Yeah.
Where the fuck's Eeyore?
He died, remember? In the first one? No, I'm just kidding. The first one doesn't give a shit. But I guess because it's based on true events. Because remember the first one? Yeah. It was like a really shitty painted sign just says Eeyore was here or Eeyore is here. He's like dead with the really shitty 100-acre woods sign as Christopher Robin and his wife walk in there. Like, hell.
But no, I dug this movie. I dug this movie a lot. And the fact that we're getting a shared universe, we're getting more of them. It's just going to be a ton of fun.
All about it. All right. I think that's about it. I don't want to talk about like the entire movie in the show. We talked about it quite a bit. There's a lot of great kills. I don't want to say it's like a great plot, but it's like, it's a more interesting plot that actually makes me care for some of the characters. I liked Christopher Robin. I liked the girl. I can't remember what the character's name was, but I liked the girl that was the babysitter, but also pseudo girlfriend to Christopher Robin, even though she said she wasn't. But then there was a lot. I mean, again, as these movies tend to do, a lot of throwaway characters. Like, you had that. What the hell was his name? Finn. Who was this guy? He seemed like a nice guy, but he's the dude. Weirdo. Yeah, taking a shower with his AirPods in, and that I actually. You speak. I want to go back all the way back to when you asked me what one of my favorite kills are. The regurgitation face melt from Owl on Finn.
Yeah.
That was a cool kill.
It's a good one.
At first I was like, is he just thrown up on him? I'm like, nah. Because in real life, owls have that ability. It's like acid that they end up throwing up their prey and then they will end up eating it again or something like that. I'm like, that's cool. And then like the face melting. Oh, man. I was like, okay. All right. That's pretty cool. Because Owl was one of those characters where he was just there. Like he was kind of like the narrator.
He was like a UAV.
He was a narrator to kind of like Pooh's like to those characters' story. And he does. There's a lot of cool shots of him flying around. Like you don't see him like fully flying, but it's like, you know, that's whoo, like swooshing around.
There's like a
verse UAV.
Like, there's a reason why he fucks off too, because there's got to be someone to continue, you know, like pick up the bodies. And
it's like a Tigger just goes back to his room.
Where did Tigger even go?
He went back to his room.
You know, because after
he,
is that what happened
at the end of the movie? He was back in his cage.
Yeah.
Because you actually could hear him like making his noises inside there, and you could hear his the rat. I love the fact that he's wearing a straitjacket. Oh, man. I do like how before Pooh gets axed to the head, he goes, "Oh bother!" I like talk the whole movie.
Yeah, dude. And then when Pooh's running on all fucking fours in that club, man.
Yeah,
so
that was good. Fun. That rave was insane. So I'm like, damn, I thought this was going to be a part. Like, I thought she was just saying they're going to have a part. No, they are having a legit fucking rave, man. Tits are out.
Yeah.
People have their fucking glow sticks. Shit is happening. And then carnage. Absolute carnage. And I think that's where we're going to end this review of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. That all kind of rhymed in a way. That was kind of weird, guys.
All right. All right, Tigger. Bitch.
You did it for him.
It's the closest we're going to get to another Nightmare on Elm Street movie is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Oh my God. I want to thank my brother Adam and Dustin for joining me on this wondrous night as we talk about this movie, because I've been talking about it a little bit here and there, but I really wanted to wait until we got to sit down and talk about it to kind of dish out all the juiciness that this movie brought. And I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray so I can snag that baby and watch all those great special features. So I want to see what kind of kills they got, you know, saved up there. And maybe, just maybe, I can convince my co-hosts to do an episode of our core podcast of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Well, I might be able to. Might be able to someday. But, yeah, thanks, guys, for joining me. Make sure Dustin, Adam doesn't do anything, so I don't have to plug anything for him. he exists.
I'm just here. I'm just breathing. It's fine.
I'm here for the rave.
Dustin working.
I'm Titty Raver one.
Yeah.
Dustin, where can everybody find you?
They can find us everywhere. Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, all under Flicks and Friends Podcast, TikTok. Apparently I'm a famous TikTok star now. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well, all under Flicks and Friends Podcast.
All the links to Flicks and Friends will be down in the description or in the show notes, so please go over and check out Flicks and Friends Podcast. It's a fantastic podcast. And Dustin's pretty cool too.
except for sure.
Yeah, one of the people over at Flicks and Friends I'm not a big fan of. But you can find, of course, you can find us on all the same podcast apps on YouTube. If you're watching us, hi. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on the video. Make sure to leave us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app, because that's cool. It really helps us out. Get some visibility, get some more people listening to the show, because that's kind of the goal with podcasting, is to get new people listening and the old ones to stick around. And you can check us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/dissectthatfilm, where we have 2 tiers, $1 tier where you can get early access to core podcast episodes. We have polls, we have other things. And then at our $5 tier, we have a Patreon exclusive show called The Monster Zone, which is hosted by my co-host Dan and Angelo, where we spin a wheel once a month and we talk about whatever monster movie it lands on. And this month, we don't have a movie yet because it's April and it's a new month and we haven't done our wheel spin yet. So, but when you're listening to us, we're going to have a live stream this Friday, April 5th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to be doing our normal end of month live stream and a Godzilla X Kong review. So if you've seen Godzilla X Kong, you want to know what me, Dan, and Angela thought about it. I know that's not how you're supposed to say that, but if you want to know what we thought about it, please come hang out with us over at youtube.com/dissectthatfilm for our end of month live stream. So it's gonna be live, so it's gonna be no editing, nothing. It's just gonna be kind of no holds bar, baby, and it's gonna be a blast. So come hang out with us there. All right, I think that's enough plugging for me. It's been an hour and that's good enough for me. Until next time, I am Brett Parker, that is Adam Parker, and that is Dustin from the Flicks and Friends podcast, and this has been another episode of Fresh Cuts. We'll see y'all again next time. Bye-bye.
Cooniverse, assemble.
That's a great way to end that.